What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there are no dumb questions. I'm your host, Matt K. Maurer, and the question on my mind today is, did AB do it again? No guest on the show today, but in addition to that, I'll answer some other questions. We'll have a first year interruptions with Shaquille O'Neal, goosebump moments of the week as always, and I will finish out my conference tournaments picks. March Madness is looming. So who's down to clown?
That's a clown question, bro.
So did AB do it again? That could be a very controversial question because if AB repeated some of the things he's done before, he would maybe be in jail. But he didn't do anything, you know, illegal. He didn't, you know, he didn't run off a field shirtless doing jumping jacks after retiring mid-game. But what he did again is I believe he reported the news on the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback room. So last year, he famously was the first person to report the Russell Wilson to the Seahawks deal. I was very impressed by that. He had it before Adam Schefter, before Ian Rappaport. And yet again this year, Antonio Brown is attempting to beat those guys to the punch. You know, he's got some connections with the Pittsburgh Steelers, so maybe he has an inside source where he's actually getting this information before a Schefter or a Rappaport. But AB reported it first. According to CTESPN, Aaron Rodgers is headed to the Pittsburgh Steelers on a two-year deal. So I can't technically answer the question, did AB do it again? Because AB, maybe not the most reliable information source on the internet, you know, X, Twitter specifically. But he's 100% hit rate on Steelers quarterback news. He hit it with Russell Wilson last year. So I think this is, you know, has some steam to it. We'll wait. I'll see if Adam Schefter reports. It'll probably report it when I'm in the midst of editing this podcast. I hate that I'm always a day behind with this stuff. The goosebump moments will be a day behind as well. March Madness is too hard to keep up with, and you record at 4 p.m., you're going to miss some stuff. But we'll see if Rodgers goes to the Steelers. I don't know if I want to say I'm pulling for him to go to the Vikings because I'd be scared, and I think Rodgers could definitely beat the Green Bay Packers with the Vikings. But I'm more so rooting for Rodgers to the Vikings because I think that would just be absolutely hilarious if he completed the Brett Favre prophecy, you know, Green Bay to the Jets, then to the Vikings. But we'll see what happens. According to Antonio Brown and CTESPN, he is a Steeler. But let's get into all the big free agency news. NFL free agency has been a frenzy. It's been absolutely crazy. So I'll split it up into signings, re-signings, and trades. First question will be, who re-signed? Biggest re-signing, biggest news of all those re-signings, I think, was Stephen A. Smith signing a five-year, $100 million contract with ESPN, re-signing for, you know, his favorite place in the world where, you know, he's on First Take every day. $20 million a year, not bad. That's Saquon Barkley money. That's what Saquon Barkley just got a pay raise to, I think $22 million a year. So Stephen A. keeps making money. Been in the news all week with he confronted LeBron courtside at the Crypto.com arena. Apparently LeBron, you know, I think this was a definitely not inspired nor direct quote inspired by Will Smith's slap from a G.I. Jane joke. But I think the word that LeBron said to Stephen A. courtside was, keep my son's name out your fucking mouth. And if you're new to the show, you might not know that for every F word, I put a dollar in the F-bomb jar because my auntie didn't like me saying the F-word so much. So I'm going to give the money to charity at some point. She still hasn't picked one out. Come on, Auntie Julie, you're slacking. Pick out a charity. But no, you have all the time in the world. There's only like $60 in there. That's, you know, not a huge difference in charity. Let's wait till it gets to a 100. By the end of the year, I think we can safely say I'll go to a 100. But yeah, Stephen A. Smith and Bron beef and Stephen A. Smith keeps making money. $20 million a year is crazy. Obviously, no one gives a crap about that. What people really care, the re-signing they're most intrigued by, is outfielder Lawrence Butler. He signed with the Oakland A's. Oh, no, it's the Las Vegas A's now. But I guess this year it's the Sacramento A's. I'm still pissed at Athletics ownership, but Butler signs a 7-year, $66.5 million deal. I know that's what y'all came to hear about is baseball news. Of course, I'm joking. Let's get into the NFL news. Chris Godwin re-signs with the Bucks, 3 years, $66 million. Baker Mayfield gets back one of the most reliable receivers in the league. Great move for the Bucks there. Chargers are re-signing Khalil Mack, 1 year, $18 million. Obviously, you want to keep Khalil Mack. He's a defensive stalwart on any team he's on, even if it's Buffalo in college. Personally, $18 million seems like a lot, but at the same time, that's why they made it a $1 million deal, because they're like, you're a little up there in years now. We don't know if we can give you a long-term thing, but if you break the sack record, you want DPOY this year, maybe we'll give you some Myles Garrett money. Speaking of Myles Garrett, the Browns are signing Myles Garrett to a 4-year, $160 million deal. This contract includes a no-trade clause. So we went from, I told y'all that the Browns were definitely trading Myles Garrett. I said there's no way around it. There was a way around it. It was $40 million a year. Garrett, agreed, I'll stay all 4 years. I won't let y'all trade me. No trade clause. Obviously, he could probably waive it if he wants to, but don't think the Browns intend on trading him, even after paying him all that money. They'd love to trade Deshaun Watson, but good luck doing that. Keeping it moving, Panthers re-signed J.C. Horn, 4 years, $100 million, one of the best defensive backs in the league. Great move. Eagles re-signed Zach Bond, 3 years, $51 million. That's a bargain. That's a Wisconsin Badger, and that's a man who had a crucial interception in the Super Bowl. You could argue one of the most crucial plays of that game just got overshadowed by Cooper DeJean's pick six. Vikings are re-signing Aaron Jones, 2 years, $20 million. Shout out Aaron Jones, one of my favorite players ever. Hate that you're Viking, but get that bag, get that money. Hollywood got his bag, 1 year, $11 million. Re-signing deal with the Chiefs. Chiefs, their offense underperformed this year, but if they can stay healthy, they got a slew of wide receivers from Rashee Rice to Hollywood to Xavier Worthy. So Chiefs obviously are still contenders, especially with that move. Another re-signing, this one kind of confused me. I had to filter through the news. I don't have the numbers here, but Josh Allen basically signed an extension for another, 2 or 3 years. He's making a lot more money. I believe highest paid player in the league. He deserves it. He's the MVP. In other Bills news, the Bills cut Super Bowl MVP Von Miller. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up. I think he's still a free agent. I wouldn't mind the Packers going after him, another veteran, but maybe that's kind of Julius Peppers vibes and maybe not as big of a move as it would have been a couple years ago. Those are all the re-signings. I'm not going to be able to cover every move. There's so many, so I just kind of tried to go for the bigger names, the names at least I've heard of. I don't know ball that well, but I like to follow it as much as I can. So who signed? That's the next question. PJ Tucker. I know y'all are interested about the NBA signings. PJ Tucker signs with the Knicks. Good veteran presence. Defensive guy. I think, I read an article, they referred to him. He'll be a new enforcer. Age 39. I did not know PJ Tucker was 39. He still plays like a, prime metal world piece, though. Maybe not anymore. That was kind of what he was to the Milwaukee Bucks during their run. Just checking up on some news. The Jazz are getting fined $100K for violating the player participation policy after not making Lauri Markkanen available. Okay, so they fined him for sitting out one of their stars, Lauri Markkanen. That's interesting. That's a little random NBA news that just popped up on my feed. Maybe I got to start doing that more. That'll make sure I can keep up to date, just do some live reaction stuff. But PJ Tucker, good signing for the Knicks. He'll be an important piece in the playoffs. Let's keep talking. Obviously, football. No one cares about PJ Tucker. You're here for the NFL free agency. So Joey Bosa to the Bills, $12.5 million. I think this is a bargain personally, because Khalil Mack costs $18 million. kind of different positions. I think linebacker versus edge rusher, but they play similar roles. I think that's a bargain. I think he, you know, you could argue he deserves more money than Khalil Mack, but who am I to say? Good signing for the Bills there. Bad signing, in my humble opinion, as a Vikings and Sam Darnold player hater. But Darnold is going to the Seahawks on a 3-year, $110 million deal. Obviously, this comes after Geno Smith was traded to the Raiders. That was a shocking move to me because I thought for sure Shedeur Sanders will be a Raider, but he won't because Geno Smith is a Raider. I think he signed an extension there as well. That is the domino that sends Darnold to the Seahawks. Another Bills move was Josh Palmer, 3 years, $36 million. Personally, I think that's an overpay. We're all talking last year about how Ladd McConkey carried that wide receiver room. Now, Josh Palmer, one of those receivers who was getting disrespected, is only, you know, he's making $12 million a year. I thought he would get a little bit less. So many signings to get through. Justin Reed to the Saints, great defensive back. He'll be back there with Tyrann Mathieu, who I believe is also staying on the Saints. DeAndre Hopkins to the Ravens. I don't know why, but it seems like every single year the Ravens sign a random washed receiver, you know, whether it was Steve Smith or Odell Beckham Jr., DeAndre Hopkins. I'm sorry to say, DeAndre, disrespectful for me to call you washed because you're a former All-Pro, but you had a huge drop in the Super Bowl. I know you're kicking yourself for that, but just kind of funny. It just seems like this is a repeat of Ravens receiver free agents in the past. Keeping it moving, Daniel Jones to the Colts on a 1-year, $14 million deal. Sorry for the sip of water and not cutting that out. But I hate this move. I hate that Daniel Jones is a Colt, mainly because I still have a teensy bit of belief in Anthony Richardson. I think he, at his best, he's one of the most entertaining players ever, but maybe not the most accurate thrower. So not accurate to the point that the Colts are just as confident in Daniel Jones' throwing ability. I think the word on the street is Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson will compete for the starting job. It'll be interesting. The Colts could maybe even go after a quarterback in one of the middle rounds. Make it a three-man competition. That'll be interesting, though. But speaking of the team Daniel Jones left, the Vikings. Yes, I know he's on the Giants, but he was a backup on the Vikings for a second. Vikings made two huge signings on the defense. They signed Javon Hargrave and Jonathan Allen. Can't tell you much about either of them, but they're two very important pieces on both the 49ers and Commanders defenses of old, and now they will both be on the Vikings. That's the one thing the Vikings never miss. You know, they might have missed on Sam Darnold, and luckily they figured it out when they saw him turn into a pumpkin his last two games of the season, but the Vikings always know how to build their defense through the draft, through free agency, whatever the case may be. So unfortunately for us Packers fans, great moves for the Vikings there. Bad move, in my opinion, here. Najee Harris to the Chargers. 1 year, $9.5 million. It's more money than I would have paid him. I mean, to be fair, he's had 1,000 yards, I think, in all four of his career years. But I don't know. I didn't expect him to get $10 million, especially with the running back market being stalled, you know, for the past decade or so. But, yeah, interesting move for the Chargers there. I guess they just probably have more confidence in his reliability and, you know, not getting injured than they did in J.K. Dobbins, who, great player when he's healthy, but he's had many significant injuries and he's tough to fully rely upon and have confidence that he will stay healthy throughout the year. Broncos have a signing here. They signed Drew Greenlaw, 3 years, $35 million deal there. Dre Greenlaw. Former 49er, Broncos get a nice little player there, linebacker. Another 49er that was lost from San Fran was guard Aaron Banks, offensive guard. He signs with the Packers. Let's go. 4 years, $77 million. Love the move. Shoring up the offensive line for Mr. Jordan Love. Packers also signed Raiders cornerback Nate Hobbs. I'll be honest, hadn't heard of either of those guys, but in Goot, I trust. In Goot, we trust. I trust Brian Gutekunst, our GM, who's done a fabulous job since becoming the man who makes the decisions. Real rapid fire. I got so many more signings. Josh Sweat to the Cardinals, 4 years, $76 million. One of the best defensive players in the league. Great move for the Cardinals. Broncos signed Talanoa Hufanga, 3 years, $46 million. Great signing, solely because Talanoa Hufanga is really fun to say. I probably mispronounced it, but great name there. A bigger move was Justin Fields to the Jets. The Jets officially, I mean, they had announced it 3 or 4 times. They wanted to make it clear they were done with Aaron Rodgers, but they officially released him today. And that news came officially after Justin Fields signed a 2-year, $40 million deal. Shout out to Fields for getting that bag. He played well in the first, 6-7 games as a Steeler, but kind of tailed off and got benched for Russell Wilson, but he gets paid anyways. He'll be interesting on the Jets, paired up with a former teammate in Garrett Wilson. I like and don't like the move for the Jets, but the Jets, they're kind of limited in their options. Here we got a move to the Steelers, Darius Slay. Darius, I think, might be a little washed. I think that's why the Eagles gave him up so easily, but he's going to make about $10 million. Lions sign DJ Reed. Hate this move, because I think DJ Reed is a great player, and he's a Lion, so he'll be playing against me year after year. I say me, like I'm on the Packers. My team. And some more moves. Hassan Reddick, 1 year, $14 million deal with the Buccaneers. Good defensive piece for the Bucs. One of the biggest moves was Davante Adams going to the Los Angeles Rams. 2 years, $46 million. Love Davante. I was expecting him to follow Rodgers, but apparently he's going to pair himself up with Matthew Stafford. He's going to be taking Puka Nacua's number, which that's disrespectful because at this current moment, Davante, I don't care what you think, but I think Puka Nacua is a better receiver than you. So Puka should have got to kept the number. But Puka changes to number 12, which is what he was in college. So maybe he was fine with going back to that. But that's one of the best receiver duos in the league, Davante Adams and Puka Nacua, right away, right out of the gate. The Rams could be contenders. I mean, when you think about it, they were only, you know, maybe a small miracle away from beating the Philadelphia Eagles, who obviously went on to win the Super Bowl. So love this move for the Rams. $23 million is a lot, but, you know, Stafford's got how many years left? You got to go all in every year before Stafford retires. Last two moves, Charvarius Ward to the Colts. 3 years, $60 million. He's making Davante Adams money in the secondary. And the Broncos sign Evan Ingram. Evan Ingram, I think, will be a great weapon. Good little security blanket for Bo Nix. Let's move on. Those are all the signings and re-signings. Let's get into the trades. So I'll ask, who won the trade? There's more than one trade. There was trades. The biggest one being probably Geno Smith to the Raiders for a third-round pick. I talked about that briefly. Interesting move for the Raiders, interesting move for the Seahawks, who decide to go in the direction of Sam Darnold, but that's the QB domino. That's Raiders. I was so sure Shedeur Sanders was a Raider. I just felt it imminently. I thought Shedeur was cryptically posting online saying that he wanted to play in Las Vegas, but he clearly will not after the Raiders trade for Geno Smith. A trade that may have gone a little under the radar, but is huge, is the Bears trading for Joe Tooney. Bears also added two pretty good O-linemen via another trade. That was for Jonah Jackson. I forgot the other guy they signed, but they signed another good O-lineman. So Bears seem to really be building up their O-line. Feels like there's the more impressive moves are happening to everyone but the Packers in free agency, but we got a pretty good O-lineman ourselves. Best division in football, the North. I think it'll stay that way this year. But speaking of the North, the AFC North had a huge deal. DK Metcalf traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 2025 second round pick and a pick swap. The Steelers got him for really just a second round pick and, you know, downgraded one of their other picks one round. Good move for the Steelers. Maybe overpaid him a little bit. They're going to pay him 5 years, $150 million. I think, you know, $30 million a year is a little steep for DK Metcalf. You know, that's more, $7 million more than Davante Adams. Do I think Metcalf's $7 million better of a football player than Adams? No. But he's a little younger, a little more athletic than Devonta Adams. But Adams is the best, one of the best route runners of all time. So kind of weird to see that contract. But the Steelers, I don't know, they've just been so desperate for receiver help that I think they just wanted to lock up Metcalf and, you know, kind of build around him in the receiver core. It'll be interesting to see if George Pickens switches numbers. My brother is a diehard Steelers fan. I think he said Pickens is planning on switching his number, which is interesting. But yeah, oh, to be a fly on the wall in the room where DK walks up to George Pickens and asks for his jersey number. That would be an interesting conversation. Yeah, we love it. I think all football fans are excited to see the shenanigans DK and George Pickens bring as a wide receiver duo. George Pickens getting in fights and DK Metcalf having his back. But more trades were had. So many trades. Christian Kirk to the Texans for a 7th. Good move for the Texans, I think, there. They give, you know, they had a lot of injuries in their receiving core this past year. So getting a reliable guy in Christian Kirk. Maybe arguably the biggest move of all was the Texans trading Laremy Tunsil and a 4th-round pick to the Commanders. They got a haul of picks in return, including a 2025 3rd, 7th, and a 2026 2nd and 4th-round pick. 4 picks for Tunsil and a 4th-round pick. So they got a haul. I bet Commanders fans are excited to have one of the best O-lineman in football. I know PFT commenter was excited. He mimicked Laremy Tunsil's draft night fiasco by celebrating the signing with a gas mask bong on his face. If you don't remember Laremy Tunsil, one of the most legendary moments on draft night, he fell about 10 picks in the draft because right before the draft started, someone leaked a video of him smoking a gas mask. So cost him some money, but iconic nonetheless. I hope any prospective employees who are watching this know that this is attempted satire. But moving on, CJ Gardner-Johnson traded to the Texans. Texans making hella moves. They trade their guard, Kenyon Green. So Texans are going to completely have to rebuild this O-line, losing, I think, 2 of their starters. Probably go for a guy in the first round. Another pick, a quarterback trade. Kenny Pickett traded from the Eagles to the Cleveland Browns for DTR and a 5th-round pick. Kind of random, just trading backups around, but I guess, I don't know, Browns wanted a 5th-round pick, and Eagles said, you know what, whatever, we'll take DTR. Really random trade there. That's the last trade I got. Other news, Seahawks released Tyler Lockett, veteran receiver. I hope he goes to a contender and can kind of be a veteran presence there. Sam Hubbard is retiring. That was a surprising one for me. Bengals fans are undoubtedly a little broken up, a little sad about that one. Other news, Rams are releasing Cooper Kupp. We kind of knew this was coming. There was reports that the Rams were gonna release him if they weren't able to trade him. Sounds like they couldn't find a trade partner. Kupp goes on the open market, and Devonta Adams slides right into his slot as a top 2 receiver on the team. Last bit of news for some baseball is Gerrit Cole will miss the 2025 season after undergoing Tommy John surgery. New York, New York. Yankees are sad, and America wins. Let's move on to some basketball with my next question. Is Jokic? Is Jokic top 10 all time? I think it's pronounced Jokic. I think he's personally top 10 all time. I think he is one of the 10 greatest players in NBA history, and I think he's creeping towards top 5, criteria, because he's been setting records. I think if he can win one more championship with the Nuggets, his stats are going to be unbelievable compared to everyone. And I had to bring up this question because the other night, last week, he recorded the first ever 30, 20, and 20 game in NBA history. 30 points, 20 rebounds, 20 assists. Just absurd. He is unlike any player ever. And I don't know. I'm putting him in the top 10 right now, and I'll stand by my take. If he wins another championship, he's a top 5 player of all time. One of the greatest centers ever. Even definitely the biggest passer from a big man perspective of all time. Someone can challenge me on that take if they're interested. My next question is also about the NBA. What are the best NBA nicknames? That's my question, and it's a question my brother and some ball watchers I know might not like, because I think some people are sick of these dumb little nicknames. But there's been a renaissance of NBA nicknames. There was a famous tweet from maybe a year or two ago talking about, oh, all the NBA nicknames are terrible. You know, Kevin Durant is KD. Devin Booker is Book. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is SGA. None of these nicknames are cool. None of them are original. I can't imagine how he feels now, because we've had a renaissance. I think at the time he was kind of wrong in that we don't have any good nicknames, because we had the Joker, you know, the Greek Freak, the Beard, the Claw. There were good ones, but now we have even better ones. Just a ridiculous list of nicknames is what I'm about to read to you, because I've been having a lot of fun with it. It's been really interesting to me for, you know, just kind of random players having just the weirdest nicknames of all time. But it's hilarious to me, because a lot of it will be a fad. You know, most people are going to forget these nicknames over time. But what I think is going to happen is I think a number of these nicknames are going to stick, follow them throughout their career, throughout retirement, and it'll be a legend. And that'll be, history she wrote. But I don't have a particular ranking here, but I'm just going to list off. Wow, I'm stuttering. I'm going to list off the names of these NBA nicknames, my favorite ones. First one, I think this is arguably the best new one, the onomatopoeia for Bam Adebayo. His name, Bam, that's literally an onomatopoeia. Couldn't get more perfect than that. The alliteration for Jaren Jackson Jr. You got the JJJ, that's an alliteration. Great nickname there. The anomaly for Jason Tatum. The anomaly is funny because the anomaly is actually what sparked this whole kind of nickname renaissance, because people thought it was a really dumb nickname, but it gave people ideas to use these kind of weird nicknames to describe their favorite NBA players. But the anomaly, Jason Tatum, I'm announcing that we as an NBA community are not accepting the anomaly as Jason Tatum names. We are going to call him the Green Gooner for reasons I do not know. Let's keep on moving with these nicknames. I got a ton left for y'all, so maybe I'll go rapid fire. The ad hominem fallacy for Jalen Green. I think the ad hominem fallacy is like when you attack a person's character in an argument rather than, you know, the validity of the argument itself. I don't know why Jalen Green is getting up and all of that, but the ad hominem fallacy sounds cool, so I like that nickname for Jalen Green. The abnormality for Shaedon Sharpe, that makes a lot of sense. He's one of the most vicious dunkers in the league. The eccentricity for Christian Braun, I think he's eccentrically known for his off-ball movement, maybe. Max Strus is the concept. That one doesn't make sense, but it sounds cool, so I like it. Another one that's cool is the predicament for Evan Mobley. That one, I think, speaks for itself. Jared Allen, the impasse, a great defensive player. I think that makes sense too. Santi Aldama is the trolley problem. Someone's going to have to explain that one to me. I don't know why he's called the trolley problem, but I guess he is. Cade Cunningham's the paradox. I've been seeing people say the paradox doesn't make sense for Cade Cunningham, but that one feels fitting for me. Kevin Porter Jr., the newest Milwaukee Buck, they traded for him recently. His nickname is the Ethical Dilemma. If you want to know why Kevin Porter Jr. is called the Ethical Dilemma, do a little Google search, you know, look up his off the court stuff. Go Bucks. Just kidding. I'm a Lakers fan. That's why I'm wearing the Luka Modric jersey, not Luka Modric, Luka Doncic. But keeping going with these nicknames, Dyson Daniels is the Great Barrier Thief. I saw that in the Goosebump moments last week. It makes perfect sense. He had the game-winning steal. Isaiah Collier is the Quantum Entanglement. Don't have an explanation for that one, but it sounds cool. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the Conundrum. That's way better than SGA. It fits. It makes sense. Luka Doncic, I don't think this one will stick. Luka Doncic, who I'm wearing his jersey, he's the Peculiarity. Personally, Luka Magic, I think, might be better. Now it's Luka Broncic. Jamal Murray is the riddle. I hate Jamal Murray. He always hits game winners against the Lakers and my team. Chris Dunn is the oxymoron. That one I'm not that excited about. Haywood Highsmith is the feasibility. That one makes no sense to me, but I just think it's hilarious calling someone the feasibility. It makes no sense. Cam Thomas is the singularity. I like that one. Lauri Markkanen, the incongruity. That's another good one. Rob Dillingham, the paranormal activity. I don't really get that one. Darius Garland, the enigma. Pretty good. Jalen Brunson, the climax. That's fitting. He's one of the clutchest players in the league. And the juxtaposition is Kristaps Porzingis. That one makes too much sense. But yeah, those are the best NBA nicknames. There's a few nicknames that I shouldn't even promote. So I'm not going to include these nicknames in my list of best NBA nicknames, because they're horrible. They're bad. You shouldn't say them. So I'm not going to include these nicknames in the list. The abortionist, the spectrum, the big genocide. None of those are on the list. They're all horrible. Do not repeat any of those. I don't even know if I have to say who's who for those. You guys can do that research for yourself, but please do not research. Don't use those nicknames. Those ones are going a little a bridge too far. People are flying way too close to the sun with some of those nicknames. You know, the ethical dilemma for Kevin Porter Jr. I think that's maybe the furthest. I think that's the line. That's the line you draw in the sand. Do not call them. I don't even want to repeat them. And again, if there's any prospective job employers for me watching this satire, I hope I made you laugh and didn't get canceled or shoon off your prospective recruits list. But let's get to our first segment of the day. Our first segment is, of course, always First Year Interruption. Today we are going to be interrupted by Shaquille O'Neal. Mr. Shaq will be talking. He went on the Pat McAfee show today and they asked him what he thought about the Celtics-Thunder game. And he gave an answer I was not expecting. So here it is. First Year Interruption with Shaq.
Yeah, Shaq, obviously huge game tonight, Thunder Celtics. How do you feel about that game? And then, you know, people are always saying, you know, this might be a finals preview, and you mentioned, you know, all the guys that, you know, Shea would have to go through in the West. How much of a difference is, you know, regular season ball to playoff basketball? Like, what is that level that everyone else goes to as the rounds progress?
My answer to the first part of your question, starting a new show called I Don't Watch That Shit When I'm Not Working. I got shit to do. Hold on. Go to dinner, go on a fucking hot date, or watch fucking Thunder in the Boston. Rich and I'll go out on a hot date for $1,000. To answer your other question.
Really, Shaq? Come on, man. You're a host on the most watched sports talk basketball show on television. And you're not watching one of the biggest regular season games of the year, the defending champions against the one seed Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, I understand you're not working, and I understand, you know, the games you really want to be locked in watching every second are the games you're going to be, you know, talking about on TV. But like, it's such a big game. You'd think you would at least watching it. Shaq said, no, it's date night. I'm going to be at the steakhouse. I'm not going to be watching the game. I don't know. It's just crazy to me. I mean, Shaq's a busy man. He's got a lot going on, but I feel like if your job is an NBA analyst, you should, you know, I'm not expecting you to watch every Hornets game. You know, you don't have to watch the Washington Wizards or any of that, but if it's the two best games, I would kind of like you to watch, cuz I enjoy watching NBA Inside on TNT. What do you call it? Inside the NBA on TNT. I enjoy watching that show, and I assume I get some basketball knowledge, but maybe not, because it sounds like these guys aren't watching the game. At least Shaq is the guy who admitted to not watching it, which is kind of disappointing. I don't know what to say, Shaq. I figured it's the biggest game of the year. I figured for sure you'd be watching this game, but apparently not. But yeah, funny moment from Shaq there on the Pat McAfee show. Come on, Shaq. Let's watch the games here. But yeah, that's all I got on First Year Interruption. Just kind of, I guess, putting Shaq on blast for not being a real fan. Shaq is an NBA casual. That's what's crazy here. He is a casual. I always call myself a casual, but I can't feel that bad because a Hall of Famer is also a casual. So, yeah, kind of crazy. Sorry, long show today. Long show, but all the nicknames took up a lot of time and so much free agency news to get through, and I didn't even get through all of it. But let's finish out the show. We got the goosebump moments of the week, everybody's favorite moment of the week. Let's start it off at number 10. We have Miles Bridges blocking Cam Thomas at the death to win it. Man, the Hornets announcer is out of his mind.
Thomas has got it. Oh, it's a great look.
Number 9, Jacoby Walter nails a cold game-winning tray for the Raptors.
Three-point shot. Got it. With 0.5 of a second left, Jacoby Walter slings up a three.
Number 8, look away, Bucks fans. Tyrese Haliburton completes a ridiculous 4-point play to win it.
With a silly foul to give the Pacers the lead. Haliburton does.
Number 7, James Dent hits a game winner on accident? On an attempted alley-oop? What?
Dent with 2 seconds. Just throws it at the rim. It goes in. It's a line drive, and NIU has the lead. Oh, my
He did it on accident,
y'all. Well, you're running well.
Oh my gosh. Line drive bullet. It almost looks like he's jumping to pass it, and he just throws it up. I think that's a pass to Saul, and it goes in.
Number 6, Zubi Ejiofor grabs the loose ball and hits the floater at the horn to win it for St. John's.
Wiltshire to Ejiofor.
Oh!
St. John's at the buzzer. In overtime.
Number 5, Kelsey Reese hits her first bucket of the game at the buzzer for the win.
Reese to win it! To win it! Her only basket of the ball game.
Number 4, Laura Ziegler spins free and hits the buzzer beater for St. Joe's.
With one, Amu puts it up, puts it in!
Number 3, Tim Moore Jr. drains the corner three at the buzzer for NJIT.
He got it off. It's good. Tim Moore Jr. plays the role of hero.
Number 2, Kawhi Leonard hits sort of a hook shot floater to win it at the buzzer. Number 1 moment of the week, Mark Sears hits a floater at the buzzer to win the Iron Bowl basketball edition.
Someone doing it today.
There you go.
Sears. He just did it.
Oh, are you serious?
Mark Sears on the road with the winner for Alabama.
Great to hear Dickie V's voice at the end there. Are you serious? We all love Dickie V, Dick Vitale. Funniest moment, I think, maybe has made it its way. Maybe funniest moment of the year with James Dent hitting an accidental game winner. Tried to throw the alley-oop, ended up throwing it right into the basket. Pardon my burp. But yeah, good goosebump moments of the week. This week is going to be crazy with all the conference championship moments. I assume we'll have a lot, but let's get into it and finish out, close out the long show with no guest today, but with my conference championship week picks, I'm going to go rapid fire because I'll be honest, didn't put a lot of thought into all of these because do y'all really, what do y'all know about UC Irvine and Bryant and Sacred Heart? I don't know anything either. It's like, yeah, I could do some research, but I barely watch any of these guys' games. It's hard to know. So it's just fun to make the picks. I feel like a lot of people will try to be, you know, experts in March Madness and say that, you know, they have all the secrets to the brackets, but like some of it is just so random that anyone's got as good of a chance as predicting it as the experts who, you know, a lot of times will go chalk, but get upset. But here are my picks with very little thought put into them. I was going to say my record from last week, but I don't think anyone cares. So I didn't go back and check it. I will say the Citadel, the 0-18 team, I do not believe they won their conference tournament. So bad pick by me. I may have gotten a few right, but it doesn't matter because no one's keeping track. I'd love to do a pick show at one point. That's a show I would definitely want to keep track of stuff. But if y'all really want to know, I'm wrong most of the time. I did have Ohio State championship, but I'm getting tangentially long in this podcast. Let's go rapid fire. Conference championship week picks. America East, give me Bryant. Shout out Kobe Bryant, so give me Bryant. Atlantic 10, I'll go VCU. I got high hopes for the Commonwealth. Russ gave me some info. I still don't know what a Commonwealth is, but I'm sure I'll learn one day. ACC, give me Duke. Cooper Flag and the Duke Blue Devils are a powerhouse. I don't see anybody beating them. Big 12, I'm going to go with Houston. Houston is always known for their tenacious defense. They have one of the best defenses over the past decade, and I heard this year they got an offense, so I like them to win the Big 12. Maybe put them in my Final Four. That's a little spoiler for next week, potentially. Big East tournament, I want to go St. John's, but I like St. John's to make a big tournament run, so I think they'll lose here in the Big Ten, in the Big East tournament, and learn from their mistakes later. So give me Marquette, the Milwaukee team, to win the Big East. Big Ten, I really want to pick the Badgers, but I feel like if the Badgers win the Big Ten tournament, that means, you know, we might not go too far in the NCAA. So I'll take the NCAA tournament wins, and I'll give the Big Ten title to Maryland. Otherwise, I would have went Michigan State, but same thing with Michigan State. I think they make a tournament run. What do they say? January, February, March, Izzo. So give me Izzo and the NCAA to go further. But Maryland and Angel Reese's little brother, Julian Reese, to win the Big Ten. As far as the Big West, I'll go UC Irvine, just because I have a cousin who lives in Irvine. Conference USA, I'll go Kennesaw State. It was a football game, but they had an incredible upset this past year. I think they've been the goosebump moments of the week, so give me Kennesaw, whatever. Ivy League, I learned the Ivy League tournament is only four teams, which is kind of, you know, I was going to pick Harvard because I assumed all the teams make it. Nope, only the top four, so I'm going to go with Yale. I think they're the smartest. And everyone knows smarts win you basketball games. Metro Atlantic, never heard of this conference, but I'll go Sacred Heart. Coolest name. Mid-American, give me Akron. Cleveland, this is for you. Mid-Eastern, let's go Howard. One of the most goated HBCUs of all time. I don't know. I like them to maybe get even an upset in the NCAA tournament. Maybe a little 14-3 upset, something like that. Mountain West, I'll go New Mexico. That's chalk. They're the number one, but New Mexico is always good for an upset in March, so maybe they get their momentum going here, win the Mountain West tournament. SEC, I wrote Arkansas question mark. I put the question mark probably because that's a terrible pick. The SEC is a gauntlet, the best conference in basketball, but I'm going Arkansas because I think they're at danger of missing out on the tournament, but they're definitely in if they win it. I mean, it's an automatic qualifier. So, yeah, give me Arkansas and John Calipari and John L. Davis to go on crazy little Cinderella run here. Southland, give me McNeese State solely because their equipment manager knew all the words to a rap song, had the boombox on his shoulder, and was walking out with the team after a win. Southwestern, I'll go with Jackson State. Shout out Deion Sanders and Travis Hunter. That's why I'm picking Jackson State. And last one is the Western. Let me go Seattle. I honestly didn't know Seattle had a basketball team. I didn't know Seattle had a college. I mean, I knew there was colleges in Seattle. I didn't know Seattle College was one of them. But yeah, the Supersonics at Seattle, to win the Western Conference. But all of this to say is I don't know ball, But I don't care. I mean, the show is called Clown Questions. Did y'all expect me to be Einstein? I mean, you know, I feel like I should just remind people, you know, if you're coming here for top-notch sports knowledge, you might be disappointed. If you're coming here for entertainment, hopefully you won't be disappointed. But if you're still here this late in the podcast, hate me or love me, you watch. It's stupid.